With the carnage of Talladega behind us, Brian and I turn our attention to Dover. A lot more predictability ahead. We're going to look at the outright betting card. We're going to look at some future, some top tens, maybe some placement stuff. We'll see what we can find. We'll recap the carnage of Talladega, what we did with our card. Obviously, no show on Sunday, but we did put out a newsletter. We'll review that and more on today's Angle of Pursuit podcast.
Ross Chastain used the wall all the way around this racetrack.
Logano has been the class of the field.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Yeah, I need to change my underwear.
Brian Twining, once again, Talladega reminds us, don't bet this stupid track. You know, if you want to bet it, get wild with top tens on jabronis like Anthony Alfredo and you know, maybe a Hosovar or a Nemechek or something, but don't bet favorites. Like the top 10 market, like I felt great about Suarez at points. I felt great about Chase Briscoe at points. And of course, he's spinning around. You're hoping he can just throw it in reverse and back it up just a little bit faster to get across the line. And
yep.
And then Erik Jones, like, have we heard any updates on him? That crash was brutal.
Yeah, so he's actually going to miss this week. He has a fractured vertebrae in his lower section of his back. I mean, it sounded like it when he said, I don't know if I'm okay.
Yeah, that was, and normally they're so like fine, you know, they're like, yeah, I'm fine. It sucks, but I'm fine, you know, or annoyed that their car is, you know, out of the race. But you could hear like genuine pain. So I'm not surprised he's out. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a Chase Elliott or Alex Bowman situation where he misses multiple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that just encapsulates that whole situation with him and Toyota encapsulates what Talladega is about and the reason why everyone who, you know, does this for a living or does this recreationally even advises do not get heavy on this race. And, you know, I was chatting with people prior to the event and just we were mentioning how qualifying was actually where the money was because that was much more predictable than what the race was going to be. And, you know, like, obviously neither of us gave out qualifying bets, but if you do follow me on Twitter, like I sometimes give those out afterwards. I was in Vegas and yeah, like just an example, like I had six of the top 10 qualifiers for a pole bet. And I wound up with the top three guys, actually McDowell, Cindric and Todd Gilliland on pole bets because Ford's coming into the weekend. Everybody should have seen after what we saw at Daytona and Atlanta, like Toyota was going to suck, which they did for the most part. They got two guys in the top 10, but it was going to be a Ford and HMS party or Chevy party. I mean, Elliott top 10 and then Busch and Austin Dillon, both with really good speed qualifying and not so good results in the race. Just so it just kind of shows you like qualifying was better to bet, but it meant absolutely zero when it came to race day, which is why I didn't really bet much at all. And for the show purposes, we only gave out a few bets and I shotgunned a few outrights only because I was in Vegas. And, you know, luckily I hit on a Tyler Reddick 28-1, but it was for pittance compared to what I'm normally betting. I mean, it was a $10 bet. I had $280. That's great. But, you know, any other race, you're betting much larger unit allocation there. So, yeah, it was kind of a boring ass race. The ending was exciting because people wrecked. But, yeah, I'm so happy to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did. I feel like we talked about that too, where like McDowell looks really interesting. Obviously, he was great at Daytona, but he's been slow. Do we want to get there? And we talked about tweeting that out, but then, you know, we never really. It's just like that seems like the way you like get in on some stuff like that and just hope to get lucky. And then it's really more of like a, like Wormy will say, it's more gambling than like educated betting, I guess.
I was just gonna say it literally is like playing roulette as opposed to say playing like poker, I guess, because neither are guaranteed, but there's a lot more skill, or I guess you could say chill, there's still chance, but there's more skill, the limited amount in poker than there is in roulette. And then a perfect example of that was Brad Keselowski was the favorite or amongst the favorites for the race, and you know, he wound up finishing second. But there was a chance that he wrecked out with Michael McDowell, who, by the way, closed at like 30-1, I believe, to win the race, which was too long. And for a moment there, I thought I made a grave mistake by not adding him to my very tiny outright card, but it just goes to show you, dude finished 30th or 31st because he got wrecked on coming to the checkered. So super speedways, again, we've mentioned it multiple times this year. Take your normal weekly race budget and divide that by four or six if you want to count Atlanta, and maybe even get shorter on there and save money for races like this weekend at Dover, where I'm very excited to just hammer the markets.
Yeah. So let me bring up our newsletter to show everybody, our completely free newsletter that you can subscribe to. It costs you nothing and shows up in your inbox every Sunday morning, or if the race is Saturday, I'll just say every race day, make it easier. So this is what it looks like. We break it down. Brian had his DraftKings values. He had Hamlin, Ross Chastain, and Carson Hocevar, who was awesome. On Sunday, I had Ryan Blaney, Daniel Suarez, who I feel like I said felt great at points, awful at others, and obviously Eric Jones. I did build a couple lineups based on some of the stuff we talked about. Obviously, Chastain was great. Could have been even better, honestly, but ended up finishing 13th.
I think he was fourth or fifth coming to the line, and then he got wrapped up in that wreck as well.
Yep, and of course, Suarez got kicked out of the paint. We know what happened to Eric Jones. Chase Briscoe, close, but not cigar. SHR in general, Noah Gragson was great. Got top three. That was really, really good to see. I was kind of disappointed with Blaney. I thought he was going to have a stronger race. He usually does well there.
Yeah, it was kind of weird watching as we were coming. So just real quick, not to go on a rant, but you heard that a lot of the drivers post-race talking about the fuel saving again, which was even worse than what they had at Daytona. And you could tell that guys were afraid to jump out of line and form a third line to just go forward because they were worried about their freaking fuel mileage. Like, it just made for shitty racing, because normally guys like Ryan Blaney, Austin Cindric, Joey Logano, for instance, as we were coming to like 10 to go, they were just riding in like 16th through 18th place rather than trying to make a move to the front, because had they pushed it, who knows, maybe they don't make it. Like, it just makes,
or they have three more restarts and then they don't make it.
Yeah.
It is pretty funny how much Fords tend to dominate and look great in qualifying, and then all of a sudden it's the Toyotas that are dominating come the end of the race. This is the other lineup I built. I went to the Blaney thing. I love Blaney, and obviously me and like almost half the field. Kyle Larson was really popular. Obviously starting 38th helps with that, even though he's not as strong there. Chastain, once again, Suarez. There's the Hocevar. Hocevar started 35th, finished 17th, had a lap led, you know, and it could have been better. Yeah. So, and then John Hunter was looking solid at points too, until he wrecked out, which at 6% would have been really nice if he had the finish that I thought he could have. So,
well, had the Toyotas not gotten too aggressive and wrecked each other, he's probably in line for a possible top 10 with the, with the pace that they had. Cause they were going to force everybody else to come down pit road.
Yeah. So there's our DraftKings, our favorite bets. Brian had Kyle Busch, or Christopher Bell over Kyle Busch, and John Hunter over Josh Berry. And then I had LaJoy top 10 and Briscoe top 10. So you can get this in your email inbox every race day. It has our final betting card. It has the late links to all the episodes. So make sure you check that out. If you have not done so, make sure you hit the subscribe. Once again, it costs you nothing. And it helps us out tremendously. So, as you can see, a lot of red on our betting cards. However, you can also see a lot of, like, up here where we're doing three-unit plays, two-unit plays, two-unit plays, two, three, three, two. Down here, 0.15, 0.15.
Yeah.
You know, we got a lot more...
We became very frugal with
we didn't get over our skis, we didn't get too crazy. So, and coming off of the week that we had at where was that? Texas.
Yeah, Texas.
Which even some people at didn't love Texas either. So, like, it's been a couple races now where it's been a lot of carnage. Brian and I are still well into the green. You know, up almost 28 units. Brian's up almost 12 units. So it's been a good season so far. We're trying to stay trying to stay in range and not go too crazy on any one race. And we'll see if we can do that this week, because Dover is a lot more compelling, obviously, a lot more easy to stomach some of the bets and whatnot. So anything else on Talladega before we move on, Brian?
I'll go back to another hot topic this week, the scoring pylon. Why the F are they removing the only point of reference for people in the stands to know who the hell is running where on the largest track on the schedule, where you can barely see the cars on the backstretch if you're sitting in the stands? I would presume. I've never been there, but it's a 2.66 mile long track like that. It's hard to make out cars. And yet you remove the only thing that fans use to be able to tell what the running order is, forcing them to use their phones or the digital screens, which are almost impossible to see when it's sunny out, by the way.
Well, and even like, you know, we know from Vegas and whatnot, but like, you can see cars running near each other, but you don't know if that car is two laps down or if they're fighting for the lead. Like, you can't tell unless you have the running order, unless you're following along. Obviously, getting the radio and the headset is probably the best way to kind of keep an ear to what's happening. But at the same time, it is nice to look up every so often and just kind of go, oh, where's Logano? Where's Hamlin? Where's whoever? And have a good reference point, so you make sure you're not watching the wrong part of the race. All right, let's talk the race this week. So the Worth 400, we're going to Dover. Kyle Larson is your favorite. Once again, big favorite, plus 475. It's going to be a big week for Hendrick. Once again, I'm not going to doubt that. Truex 6-1, William Byron 7.5, Hamlin 7.5. Ross Chastain inside 8-1. Where is your initial lean going for this range? Anyone you're considering betting? Anyone going on the card, at least at this point?
So I'm not getting to Larson at 475, and definitely not Truex. We've talked about him on numerous occasions on how you got to wait to see what he unloads with as to whether or not you're going to get in on a really short number, because in all likelihood, you'll probably get the same, if not a longer number, post-practice and qualifying.
Yeah.
Denny Hamlin, I don't mind getting to him at 7.5. I mean, dude is probably the best guy on the circuit right now when it comes to 1.5s, or like, I mean, this is a mile track, but it's a little bit faster. So I love Denny this week. Chastain, I cannot get there pre-practice and qualifying. Yeah, he's done a little bit better, but he's not going to put this on the front row, and so this number's probably going to stay or get longer. So of the guys in the single digits, it's probably Denny or bust for me.
Yeah, and I'm looking at iFantasy Races total speed rankings. Chastain is number one, second at Dover 2022, second at Dover 2023. He's been consistent, he's been fast, but I'm with you. Like the best case scenario, he looks like a rocket ship and he's 6 or 7 to 1. Worst case scenario, he looks 22nd in practice, or he's even fine in practice and slow in qualifying. You know, we're getting 12 or 14 or something. And then we're betting it at that point. Cause what we want from Ross is crappy qualifying, mid pack starting grid, winning the race. That's how Ross wins. If Ross is up in front early, he just sinks like a rock. It's like, it's just science.
Yeah. And he started both the previous two races outside the first three rows. So, I mean, unless he's putting it on the front row or maybe the second row, you know, he's just missing out on the pole, his number is not going to get shorter. It's only going to get longer, if anything.
And that's assuming Martin Truex and Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin don't look like rocket ships either.
Exactly.
Like, they would all have to stink, and then he would have to be on the front row with like Todd Gilliland or something in order for his number to completely shatter. So I'm 100% with you there. As always, you can shop these. You might be able to find better numbers if you want to get involved. But for Brian and I, this is just a range that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like I said, like Brian said, Hamlin is fine. I could see him being somebody that jumps somewhere in between Larson and Truex in terms of an outright number. But even then, there's a few guys in this range that I like. So I'm happy to let the chips settle where they may and then get involved at that point with this group. I think the next group is kind of where we want to get involved. So Ty Gibbs, 12-1. Chase Elliott, not so average ass anymore, 12-1. Christopher Bell, 12-1. Ryan Blaney, 14-1. And then Bush and Bowman at 18. So that's kind of the 10 to 20 range. Some compelling options in there. Who's the most interesting to you?
Let me say, I told Kyle prior to recording here, I've already made two outright bets, and one of them was Chase Elliott, which unfortunately is at this 12-1 number because I'm back in California and the only available book I have is offshore. But you can get him much longer at other books, 16-1 at places. I'm all over the Chase Elliott train right now and the thinking that we might be hearing the siren not just one more time, but Kyle's alt over 2.5 wins might be cashing as well because he's looked a ton better. I think he's back in the tail end of the championship conversation. So I don't mind getting to Elliott right now. He's qualified inside the top 10. I believe it's at least three straight times here. He's got the like one of the best overall average finishes. He has the best average finish over the last three races here at Dover, inside like better than six. So Elliott is my favorite pre-practice guy right now.
Yeah, he's really compelling. Obviously, we both have the over 1.5. Hopefully, we can potentially cash that on Sunday. That would be nice. And as you mentioned, I have the alt over 2.5. So that's really nice. I'm pulling up the Action Network to see if there's longer odds floating around somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And as we speak, his 16-1 on Superbook is now down to 12.
Yep. So it looks like pretty much 12 across the board. So
he's still 14 at BetMGM.
Okay. That's nice.
So that's actually going on the card. I'll add that.
Yeah, that's a nice number. I don't fault you. I'm pulling up Superbook now because I'm looking for one particular driver. The other one you wanted to back is also in this range, another Team Hendrick guy, and that's Alex Bowman. Talk to me a little bit about him.
Yeah, Bowman too. Like he's been pretty good here at Dover. He's qualified really well in the past. I mean, HMS is always unloading with tons of speed. I got him at 20.
He's 25 right now at Superbook.
At Superbook, that number I'm all about. I mean, when you look at the last three trips here, he's only ran two of them, but he's top fives in both of them. He's got a win here at Dover. You know, HMS is right up there with JGR in terms of speed at these types of tracks, at the higher speed tracks. So Bowman, 20-1, he's probably going to unload fast. If he qualifies inside the top 10, I mean, this is probably 14 maybe.
18 is probably the lowest you want to go, at least at this point. Like DraftKings has 16. Is that, how do you feel about that? Is that too short for you, or are you willing to still get in at that price?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that might be a little bit too short.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we're like nitpicking here and pinching pennies, but like there really is a difference between like 18 and 20 and like 14, 16.
Well, especially when you're talking about a guy who's hasn't won shit in a really long time. So,
and like you mentioned, even if he looks incredible, what's he going to be, like 12 or 14? So I'd rather just know that he's fast and get the little bit shorter of a number. Or if he's not quite as fast as I expected, maybe he drifts, you know, closer to that 18 to 20 most places. And then I can get involved at that point.
The Superbook number at 25, that's
25 is great. Yeah. If you can get 20 or better, I think it's fine to jump in. I think inside 20, 18's okay, but like that's where you start to tip the scales in favor of not betting it. I will say there is a lot of discrepancy in market, so make sure that if you have access to different sports books that you're shopping them and finding the best number. For example, Superbook DraftKings has Ty Gibbs at 16 and Caesars has him at 12. So 16 is much more palatable than 12. The number I'm going to add, Brian, is Christopher Bell, 12-1. We're talking about 1 mile. We're talking about Chris Bell, dominated Phoenix. I think he makes sense. I think he's kind of smushed into an area where he's not going to garner a ton of attention. and I could see him coming out looking awesome in practice and qualifying. And we're talking on Saturday night at like, he's like 8 or 8.5 to 1. So I'll take the little bit of value.
All right. I'm going to let you ring with the cracked Liberty Bell at the moment. He's fantastic. Like, I feel like he's value every week, but they're just, we've run into another string of races where he's either suffering wrecks or, you know, he's just having bad luck or he's not able to get up to the front and battle for a win. Instead, he's a top five contender.
Yeah. And it really feels like he does that. Like, he'll just kind of flutter mediocrity for like a month and then he'll win a couple races. And then he'll kind of go out of the picture for a little while, and then he'll win a couple races. And all of a sudden, oh, look, it's the final four in Phoenix, and Chris Bell's one of the four. Like, he kind of, like, I think he's all shucks. You know, he's a little guy. He looks young. I don't know. It's interesting. I just think he kind of, that's kind of his MO. But, I totally get the, the thought of, especially in terms of recent form, but I think he makes too much sense to pass even at 12 to 1. I was hoping to get a better number, but shopping it around, I don't see even Superbook has him at 12. So that tells you what everything you need to know. We'll talk 20 to 1 and longer. So we have Keselowski, Buescher, Logano, Reddick, and then there's another sizable jump. Any interest in the Fords or Tyler Reddick, who won Talladega last week?
I mean, it's hard not to like Tyler Reddick. He's been really fast at like the other one mile tracks. He's good at the 1.5s. I think a little bit more like a 1.5 in terms of just speed than like a 1 mile, you know, like a Richmond or a shorter track. So I don't know. I don't hate the 22 to 1, but this isn't a place where you would consider Tyler Reddick a regular contender. And then Joey Logano, obviously, is somebody that I'm always looking at, mainly because I'm sitting on his over 1.5 wins for a pretty hefty amount this year. So I'm really looking for the 22 to find victory lane for the first time. But him too, like I don't know what we're gonna see out of the car. Like, I'd rather see him unload good and maybe put it up front after a good practice as well, and then go back at the 12 or 14.
Yeah. And like, you can get Logano and Reddick at 25 at Superbook. Like, both those are really nice. I think those are, you know, a little compelling, especially because they're not, you know, the Norman market. But yeah, I think north of 20 both make a ton of sense, obviously for different reasons. But yeah, I think those are the two interesting ones. I have no interest in RFK this week. Maybe that'll be the end of me, but we'll see.
I think this is a good week to fade Brad Keselowski. I'm going to go out on the limb here. I'm probably going to get crushed, but after his letdown at Talladega, where they thought that was the choice, and now we're going back to a track where the Fords haven't necessarily, the track type where the Fords have kind of struggled, I guess you could say, this year. I think this is an opportunity to take advantage of his second place finish at Talladega and parlay that into, you know, hedging off him with matchups or the over under market for finishing position.
Yeah. You think people look at Phoenix because of the intermediate and think RFK and like end up getting a little more excited about him because of the way they finish.
Again, like, if people watched Phoenix.
Right. No, I know I'm not going to it, but I'm wondering if people get excited and push their numbers.
I mean, I guess, and they're probably going to look at the fact that he finished, He finished fourth last year or eighth last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, decent run, but there's no way he's going to win this race. I'll just say that right now. Brad Keselowski's not winning here at Dover.
No. And then we have a bunch of names. So Bubba, Barry, Briscoe, Gregson. Anybody that you're like longer than 40 to 1, you're like, I'm grabbing a piece of it. I think it could get better when we talk on Saturday and actually has a chance of winning the race.
This might be throwing money away, but if I can get Bubba Wallace at 40 to 1 or even like 50 to 1, I think of this group, there is nobody who has greater potential at tracks where he's not necessarily been good at in the past. And we've already seen it on numerous occasions with Bubba at short tracks where he's run near the front pretty much all day. He's good at one and a halves. I mean, he's clearly evolved as a driver. And so, you know, anytime you can get a number of this elongated, you know, amount here, like, I'm going to take it just for a small play, because he's probably going to unload fast, which 2311 has done pretty much every single week. And this is probably going down to 30 at minimum.
Yeah. I'm going to add one other name because I'm a glutton for punishment and think the number is probably too long, even though it probably isn't a super smart bet. Chase Briscoe at 60. It's just like, God. It feels like it should be like 30 or 35. Like, it was 33 last week at Talladega. You could obviously get longer other places, but that was what we were looking at on our favorite offshore. I don't know. That feels, I'm going to put like a tiny little, I'm talking like a tenth of a unit just to feel good about it when he qualifies. Oh my gosh, well.
Just to have some kind of action on it.
Yeah. I just need to feel something. And you've been on my Chase Briscoe corner for far too long, so I need to take it back.
Yeah. No, I'm not messing with Chase.
SHR, man, shorter, flatter ish. I don't know. We do, you know, a big part of this point of the week is to jump on numbers that we think can move. And that's where my head's at with that one. So
let me just say too, with Jimmy Johnson being in the field, if you can find Jimmy Johnson matchups, take whoever he's racing against. we're at the Michael Jordan last home stretch Wizards era of Jimmy Johnson's driving.
We're at like if Jordan came back now and played in the big three stretch of Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, like, no, he ain't it.
No, it's not having it, Jimmy. Nice try. They should do like a senior tour with like Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Tony Stewart, and I think that's kind of what
they're Boyer in there.
Yeah, get Boyer out there. I know Harvick just retired, but I think that would be fun.
I mean, maybe that would then push like guys like Brad Keselowski. He'd be out sooner.
That'd be interesting, kind of like what golf does. All right, top Chevy. Why is AJ? Oh, AJ Allmendinger is 100-1, but he's listed at the top for some reason. Oh, it's an alphabetical order. Good job, Caesars. Way to completely randomize. Okay, this should be fun. So Kyle Larson's 2-1. Chastain's 3.5-1. Byron's 3.5-1. With those names, is there any potential value, or if we're betting even like a Chase Elliott at 6-1? Is it just better to bet them to win the race at 12?
Oh my gosh. All of their odds are alphabetical, by the way. Yeah.
6-1 isn't.
Yeah, I really don't hate that on like Elliott at 6-1.
It's like half his outright odds.
The one thing I will say about that, though, is that I don't think his number is going to get that much shorter when you account for the fact that both Kyle Larson and William Byron have been the best two HMS drivers, and they're probably going to unload just as, if not faster, than him. So, I mean, if he looks good in practice and qualifying and we get this number at 4 or 4.5, I actually like that better than the uncertainty of right now.
Yeah, he's plus 170 for a top five. He's plus 340 for a top three, and we're getting 6-1 to be top Chevy. I know he could be top three and still not be and still be the third Chevy, but I'm gonna take it. I think it's too good a value. I think it should be like somewhere between a third and a quarter, not half of what his outright odds are.
I don't hate it. Gosh,
I think he should be like that. What's the difference between him, Chastain, and Byron? Like they should all kind of be in a similar range. And
true.
Elliott's basically double those guys.
Yeah.
All right, let me Elliott top Chevy. Guy wins us one race, and now we're like the biggest Chase Elliott podcast on the market.
Oh man.
Remind me too, if he doesn't, if even if he looks good and his number goes longer, maybe I should double down and not be scared of it.
No, that's when you back it up with somebody like against him in a matchup. So you hedge it a little bit.
Interesting. Bubba Wallace 12-1 to be top Toyota. I don't hate that. Bell is 425. That's really nice. Yeah, because Truex and should I take that Bell number? Is nice.
What is Bell four and a quarter?
425. Ty Gibbs.
That's pretty good because he's facing Denny and Truex.
Yeah, I'm gonna add that. I'm already on him on the outright. I might as well, because if Hendrick does dominate and Bell is the top Toyota, at least I get paid out on it.
Ooh, they just looking at matchups right now. They got Christopher Bell versus Chase Elliott. Elliott is plus 110.
Interesting.
Show bet?
No, because I have Elliott on my card.
You're on both of them.
That's what that's what happened to me last week. I liked Eric Jones and Daniel Suarez, and they had them head to head in a matchup.
Oh man!
They always do that. They always put the two of the guys that I like, you know, in a matchup against each other when they could put them against other jabronis. 425. That's a nice number. I like that. You want Jimmy Johnson 50-1? No,
absolutely not.
Top Fordski, Brad at 4, Buescher at 4, Logano at 4.
I'm actually really disappointed that we don't get more backmarker matchups.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they expect us just to be happy that we get matchups at all.
Yeah, I guess.
Gillen 60-1, Priest 25. I don't hate Priest 25. Greg's an 18. McDriver. What's Chase Briscoe? Briscoe 12-1.
I feel like Dover is a track that's going to reward the top echelon guys. Yeah. I don't think this is going to be an instance where we see kind of the mid manufacturer drivers, you know, competing up front or anything of that nature.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely fair. Okay. Fastest qualifier. What are we doing this week? Just randomness, just like alphabetical order. Good luck figuring it out. Let's see here. I'm going to look. Start.
So really interesting to note, last year at Dover, Kyle Busch won the pole, and it was only Christopher Bell and Reddick inside the top 10 for Toyota. And then it was Blaney, Keselowski, Buescher, Briscoe made up spots 3-6.
So Blaney, the last four times, has started 3rd, 5th, 7th, and 7th. Buescher, 5th, 1st, 10th, and 5th. Denny was 13th last time, but then 2 seconds. Buescher feels like a good number, even though it's 8. Blaney, what's he? It's probably down. Probably less than that. Yeah, he's 5. He's the one of your favorites.
I think Blaney. Oh shit, it's hard looking at this stupid thing. Yeah, but Blaney at 5-1, that's so short.
Yeah, it's not worth betting.
Yeah, I wouldn't even get involved with that. I'd rather look at qualifying matchups.
Larson's 3-1. That's even crazier. That's but last year, last race, he was 18th, but before that, 3rd, 4th, 2nd, 3rd. And there's a 10th in there, and then a 1st, 3rd, and 5th. So that's interesting.
Yeah, they're really squeezing those right there.
Yeah. No, these odds suck.
Yeah, so they have qualifying matchups on Caesars posted.
Ooh, let's go. That's where we want to go. That might be more fun. All right. Suarez versus Cindric. Blaney versus Buescher. Truex versus Kozlowski.
Ooh.
Byron versus Chastain.
I mean, in a vacuum, it's got to be William Byron. That's just kind of.
Yeah. And then it gets us to where Ross Chastain, maybe like a 12th place car, and we can bet him to win the race.
That said, Chastain, Chastain's average start is better than Byron's, but he only has one top 10 in the three.
Byron races. Also has, starting back in May of 2019, second, sixth, eighth, 23rd, third, 33rd, and eighth. So he has two poor qualifying results, bringing his average down significantly.
Yeah. He's not good at qualifying.
I wish it was a little bit better, but, you know, it sucks that we also get minus 110 as, like, the underdog. It should be minus 110, and then we should be getting minus 105 or plus money.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Bell versus Bowman. That's interesting. Even at minus 120, I think it's interesting.
Reddick has a better starting finish or starting average, which is really interesting.
Over Chase Briscoe. Look at that. Briscoe's a favorite to Red Dog.
That's pretty gnarly. Ooh, I think I'm going to. Yeah, these are probably properly priced.
Yeah, there's nothing.
The Byron one, I think, is the best side.
And that's, I think there's more hopium there that we get a good number on Chastain for the race than, because, like you said, there's Chastain has been a little bit better, and it's hard to. Although,
oh, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, Chastain is 14th, 7th, 19th, 34th, 36th, 32nd. Obviously, a lot of premium motorsports in there, so not exactly, speed demons on the track. But even 14th and 7th, even though he finished as well, they'll probably finish like 6th and 7th or 8th and 9th or something, and it's an unnecessary sweat, so I'm just going to skip it. Stuart Haas versus RCR.
I mean, you're getting 4 versus 2.
Yeah, and we're fading RCR, who's trash.
And I was just going to say, it's really 4 versus 1, because I don't think Austin Dillon can really factor into the into the conversation.
2311 versus 2311 at plus money versus RFK. Then we're talking about.
I don't hate that. The only thing I will say, I almost would like that to be a little bit longer, because when you look at the two drivers on each team, RFK's guys are a little more risk averse, and they're a lot better at not being boneheaded and causing wrecks or being in wrecks or making mistakes, as opposed to 2311, where we've seen Bubba have his own like personality issues, or Tyler Reddick just go too hard and wreck himself. So I think the number is priced accordingly to how the guys race, not just, you know, what they think that is going to happen on the track.
Yeah. Blaney and Logano minus 105 basically versus Ross Chastain. That's kind of interesting. Chastain's just upside is so high, it's hard to jump in on that.
I am betting that right there. Ryan Blaney over Ty Gibbs, minus 105. Yeah. There's no reason why Ryan Blaney should be an underdog to a rookie.
No.
He's got a fast car, but.
Yep. It has been really good, but no, I agree. That's a good number.
Yeah. He's got a fast car, but he hasn't been able to put it all together yet.
Buescher versus Bowman. Yeah. Chase Elliott plus money over Bell is kind of interesting, because I think they're both really compelling. So if you get plus money with one of them, I think it's fine. And let's see, I will pull up Superbook and see if they have any matchups that are more interesting or better numbers.
I already added one. I'll tell you when you get there.
Let me see if I can guess it. Have I come to it yet?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
I will say the Chase Elliott number here is really nice against Christopher Bell, but
yeah, it's 115. Blaney versus Bell?
No.
Bowman versus Blaney?
Nope. You just passed it. Top one.
Oh, Elliott versus Gibbs?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You're just fading Ty Gibbs this week.
Yeah, it's fade. He doesn't get us this week. That's the hope.
He sure doesn't. He doesn't get us on it. We don't get him on our card, and he doesn't get us. That's fine. Yeah. Apparently, there's an Eric Jones matchup, even though he's not racing. So that's
interesting. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, these matchups kind of stink, baby.
So there was one that is on there. Alex Bowman is plus 115 over Ross Chastain. But again, you go back over to... Blaney?
Oh,
what's that?
Over Blaney or over Chastain?
I thought it was Chastain. Oh, I'm looking at... My bad. Sorry, I already transitioned over at DK. Bowman over Chastain is plus 115. Yeah, I'm shopping all the lines here.
Hell yeah.
But again, you run into the issue of Chastain's ceiling is so high that you're betting against that. Whereas,
but I think that's
similar.
Yeah, but I think that's a great way to get involved against Chastain. Because Chastain, I agree, he could win the race, but he could also finish 32nd and be awful. Where I feel like Alex Bowman's going to be a lot more stable, even if he doesn't have race winning upside.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit that.
Let's see. Team prop. No, race props.
No, it's under driver props.
Bell plus money versus Hamlin. Yeah, I don't hate
that. How do you bet against Denny, though?
You can't.
Yeah.
Any compelling options from these groups?
I don't think I've bet a group in a while.
I don't hate this one. Bowman plus 220 over the RFK boys and Bubba Wallace.
That's not too bad.
I mean, obviously he's the favorite, but I think it's a good, plus money bet against we you know, especially based on what we think Bubba can be. Like, we both think he's interesting as an outright bet just because of where his number is, but we don't expect him, you know, to be that high. And then obviously RFKs, we'll see about them. We're not really interested, at least as of now. Kind of interesting.
It's also when you look at like placement markets on these guys, and when you go to Caesars, like Bowman's top 10 price is minus 160, whereas Keselowski and Busch are both minus 110.
Yeah.
You know, so when you factor those in there, it's probably priced accordingly. I find it hilarious that Caesars still has Jimmy Johnson priced at plus 400 for a top 10. He should probably be like the double digit guys.
Yeah. Is there any value on the top 10 market? Bubba at plus 120.
I don't know. I can't even like look at it because of the way that they have it.
Yeah. Ordered. It's pretty ridiculous. I don't understand what's going on. Blaney at minus 180 feels short when you see Chastain at minus 350, but I can't bet a minus 180 favorite.
I don't know. It's really not that bad.
Minus 300. He's shorter than Ty Gibbs, and like Ty Gibbs is little guy, so Yeah. Kyle Busch is minus 115. That's interesting.
Ooh.
Logano minus 110.
All right. So I bet this 2 weeks in a row, a couple of weeks ago, and it burned me twice.
And we're going back to the well.
Drivers to finish on the lead lap at Caesars is posted at 15 and a half. Okay.
Okay.
Last year, I think there was 13 guys. No, there was only 12 guys that finished on the lead lap.
So we need four more in order for it to go over.
But the previous year, it was only 15.
Okay.
But my, again, like I would lean taking the under again. But if we get another stupid ass caution with like 10 laps to go, and people just take the wave around as opposed to pitting.
We got to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Where do we go? No, I click here.
Yeah, you click on race name.
Yeah,
how'd you find that?
It was in the props. Prop bets? No. Top.
Now it's gone.
I swear it like pops up and down like randomly.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, here we go. Go all the way over to other.
There it is.
And it's at the very bottom.
They like posted just to feel good about themselves, but make it so hard to find.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So.
Oh, they only have four guys or five guys.
Byron, 7.5. Truex. Ooh, Truex, 7.5. Minus 140, though. McDowell, 20.5. So a top 20 for McDowell at minus 115.
I still think the Bubba number, 14 and a half. Yeah, Bubba's
interesting.
Because what is his top 10? Like plus 110?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to look. The Keselowski one's kind of interesting, too.
I'm gonna hit that Bubba Wallace one. He's finished under this mark in two of the last three, and the one that he did, and it was 16th.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, Brad's kind of been all over the board. He's got like a 9th and a 7th and a 4th, but he's got a 20th and a 15th and a 12th and a 16th. So it's like.
And you also have to account for his need to get a win. So he might wreck out.
Yeah. I don't know. He feels like he's in the Kevin Harvick time of his season. You can get Larson or Truex or Chastain, but it's plus 135. Woof. Overtime at plus 450.
I don't hate that. I mean, we've seen so many overtime races now.
Yeah, especially at this track. It feels a lot more plausible. Larson top Chevy and Blaney top Ford at 950. I don't hate that. Winner of stage one wins the race. Byron top Chevy and Hamlin top Toyota at 12-1. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, that, I actually like that.
Yeah. Obviously it's not Larson, but you're getting 12-1 on it, so.
Yeah, but you know what's gonna happen though, is you're gonna bet Byron and he's gonna have an issue, whereas if nobody's gonna bet him and he's gonna win the race.
Yeah. That's how it always works. If I like him and don't bet him, then he wins the race. If I like him and do bet him, then he doesn't win the race and barely finishes in the top 10. Maybe.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Well, very minor betting card for me at this point. But that's okay. Patience, wading into the water slowly, getting the right numbers. taking value when it's there, sitting out when it's not. That's the cool thing about betting is you don't have to do it every race. You don't have to bet the same amount every race. You don't have to bet the same amount of bets every race. You can kind of find your spots, pick and choose, and make it work. So I have four, count them, four bets. Chris Bell, 12-1. He's my only, my only legitimate outright. I have a Chase Briscoe at 60-1 just to feel something. Chase Elliott, top Chevy at 6-1. Brian will hate me when he gets like third or something and is like the second Chevy. And then Bell top Toyota at 425, I think is also really nice. So I'm big on Christopher Bell this week, and then I added a little Elliott and Briscoe. Brian has three outrights, Chase at 14, Bowman at 25, Wallace at 50. And you said Elliott, you'd go to 12. Bowman, you'd go to,
I think, 20. 20 is the cutoff. Like
for Roman.
Yeah, I'm not getting into anything below 20.
Yeah, and Bubba 40 or
I think 40 is okay because again, you're playing a small play on this, and this is obviously a shot in the dark. But
right, and if what you can always do too is like if you normally bet say 25, you could put $10 on it at 40. If he looks awesome and he goes to 25. Then you could put another $15 on it or whatever, add to your position. If it doesn't look very good and you're like, well, at least you're only losing $10. So,
yeah, exactly.
You have Blaney over Gibbs at -105, Elliott over Gibbs at -110 because he does not get us, and Bowman over Chastain at 115. And we talked a little bit about that. You also have the Bubba under 14.5 finishing prop, which is nice. Grab those while you can. I know Caesars has it. I know our favorite offshore sometimes will have them.
Yeah, very, very infrequently.
Yeah, they're pretty hit and miss. They're kind of one of those extra items that sometimes show up on the menu and sometimes don't. Brian, do you have a favorite bet, at least at this point, or a number that's the most compelling to you as we sit here talking on a Tuesday?
It's got to be the Chase Elliott over Tyrone Gibbs. I mean, we have completely flipped the script on our buddy average ass Chase Elliott because
he won. Like if he had won a race, I would have been like, okay, I can see it given what Gibbs has done. But he won a race and he looked good the week before, and he almost won what was that, Richmond?
Yeah, it was one of the shorter tracks, yeah.
Yeah.
But and then too, we're in a situation now where I feel like you're still getting a slight discount on Chase Elliott, and the books are still kind of shortening on Ty Gibbs because he's been really fast.
Yeah.
When give me the guy with the experience, championship pedigree over a rookie any day of the week.
It's amazing. Guy wins one race and average ass is gone. He's just Chase Elliott now. Good job, Chase. We appreciate you. That's Brian Twining. I'm Kyle Robert. Appreciate all the support. Enjoy the rest of your race week. We will be talking to you on Sunday morning. Make sure you are subscribed if you've yet to do so. Hit the thumbs up on the way out. Go subscribe to the Substack so you get the extra picks, full betting card, everything in your feed on race day. I think that's it. Let us know down in the comments who you're excited about. If you find any good bets for Sunday's race, and like I said, we will recap everything, including talking some DraftKings when we regroup on Saturday. So make sure you are subscribed so when we post that, you get access to that right away. For Brian Twining, I'm Kyle Robert. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next time.